Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, you guys? Sean Rossap, Fightful.com, here with a name you know. We spoke to him back in May, but my God, things have changed an awful lot since then. We've got Steve Maclin, who's going to be competing at Impact Hard to Kill January 8th, a long-awaited match at that against Trey Miguel. Steve Maclin, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Yes, very long-awaited singles match.
I'm excited. It's a follow-up of a feud that has gone on effectively since July. And your life has categorically changed since the last time we spoke. And this feud is a big reason why. So how are you feeling professionally right now as compared to that period in which we spoke?
Well, we were talking before this went on the air here. Just what a difference 6 months makes. And I'm looking forward to the new year of 2022. I know with COVID and everything around the world and how everybody's affected, but God, it's been awesome. Me personally, I'm in the best mindset I've been in the world of professional wrestling and just the world of professional wrestling with AEW, WWE, Impact, ROH, kind of taking a hiatus, but we don't know what's going on there. MLW, New Japan Strong. There's so many different outlets now for everybody to work and everybody's talking. And I do not envy being a wrestling fan. Do not whatsoever. I don't know how people can watch certain things. I know everybody kind of picks and what they want to choose, but I do not envy that at all. Cause I could today's day and age, I couldn't be a wrestling fan. It's just insane. The amount of wrestling that is out there.
Well, I know one thing, you're there tuning into NXT 2.0 every single week, watching with bated breath, excited.
Listen, I'm very happy for what's going on there, for what the vision is there. I know we've had this conversation. I have this conversation with a lot of people, even that were in NXT during 2014 when I got there. And it's the conversation that we kind of have. It's like, that's what it was envisioned is supposed to be.
Yes.
Of all these athletes. And it's a product that gets pushed to the main roster, gets you ready. And then it just changed to where it was its own vision. And there was that influx of indie talent. And it was just got so hot and it was a bubble that needed to burst and it worked. Then obviously after a while, it didn't work. And it's just something that's different, and it's something you want to tune into. Go ahead. If you're not a fan of it, you can flip the channel to the other show, which is on Wednesday nights or Tuesday nights. I'm sorry.
I look at New Japan Strong, and when I see that, I'm like, that seems more like the vision that was put forth of an NXT. You have a lot of the young guys there. Then you have occasionally like these really, really established foreign stars come in and all that. But it's changed, and you witnessed a lot of that change, and now it's like just completely off the wall, different than what anybody had ever thought it would be.
Yeah, and you're seeing it's just going to a different demographic, and they're trying to find their way of entertainment in a business, and that's what WWE is an entertainment company. I think people need to realize that. They're not pro wrestling first, they're entertainment first. Pro wrestling comes after. And if that's what you're entertained by and you want to watch, go ahead, watch it. That's what you want to watch. But what people should be watching is Impact Wrestling.
Specifically Hard to Kill, January 8th.
Yes,
January 8th. Huge match. So, man, I've got so much Impact stuff to talk to you about because I haven't talked to you on camera since you've been there. And there's been an awful lot packed into there. I mean, we're talking about you going from a place where you were off TV for months and months and months to Impact, where, as best I know, you have not been pinned in Impact Wrestling. And submitted. And to me, that's very specific, especially the finish of, I believe it was the Trey Miguel Laredo Kid match, where he didn't get his shoulders up. You got yours up on that double pin. I mean, it's very clear this company has a lot of confidence in you. How does that make you feel considering the roller coaster you had been on?
It's a great feeling just because Impact has embraced me and I've embraced Impact and the creative freedom I do have, and also still working along the guidelines with creative. which is communication. Communication always is the number one thing in professional wrestling or in any business, I feel, no matter what it is, especially you in sports media. Like, communication is key. And you want to stay up on things. So it's in the know what's going on, what is my character doing, and what is the story in the end that we want to go to. And this is one of those things where I'm just having a lot of fun with it. And it's been so great with D'Lo, Matt Stryker on commentary, just kind of getting there. Like, they always ask me questions of like, oh, how can I say this? I'm like, just say what you want to say. However you feel off of me, we can like, hey, I like this. This sounds good. And it's pretty much the same way back and forth. Like, if creative said, hey, we like this and this, but we didn't like this. Okay, cool. So when commentary says a certain thing, I like that. Like, ooh, okay, cool. And I'll kind of follow on Twitter, and to all the Twitter people out there, I read everything. Just because, why not? We're a business. Everybody is their own business, and you're a product. And you're trying to put something out there. I want to know what works and what doesn't work. And that's, for me right now, is a lot of fun, where I get to just toy with things. And I have a lot of leverage, I feel, or at least I have a strength on my end. You're having all this talent that's coming out of NXT and WWE now that's going elsewhere. Everybody knows what they can do. Nobody knows what I can do. And that's, to me, the biggest strength I have is the unknown. And it's the fun part, because now I can go do whatever the hell I want to do.
That's one of the most fascinating things about you, is that you were in NXT for so long, but they didn't exactly have you doing media nonstop. So we didn't hear from you during that period. We didn't hear from the guy behind Steve Cutler. We didn't hear from that. Now we're seeing it unfold. We're seeing a lot of your vision unfold as well. I remember seeing your vignette when you were a free agent, and I was like, man, this is rad. And then they picked it up for Impact. How did that process come about? Did you create that with Impact in mind, or did they say, we like this, let's use it?
No. So when I left the company, obviously when I got let go, I was like, all right, cool. Let's hit the ground running. I have this idea and I wanted to get it out there. And I had my vignettes. I had it written out of what I wanted to do. One of my good friends in the VA used to work with NASCAR and did a lot of production with them. So he's like, hey, just let me come shoot it. We'll fly down the weekend. We can make a weekend out of it. And Tanner has been nothing but a help to me, because it's just helped me envision it. And he kind of gets what I want to do. And of course, Deanna helped me as well, like kind of narrowing down my verbiage, because she knows I love to just talk, which surprisingly nobody knows that, but I love just talking. I love just talking the business.
Sure.
And when it came about doing the vignettes, it was an investment on my end out of pocket. It was such a fun time, because it's allowing people to see something I had in me that I wanted to give people and show people. And they couldn't, I was just never allowed that opportunity. And it's okay. Like, it's going to happen in the business no matter what. And that's why I love now, from day one, once I got let go, I'm like, all right, cool. It's all on me now. Like, there's nobody to tell me no anymore. It's on me. And if they tell me no, it's like, okay, cool. I'll go elsewhere, or I'll try it somewhere here until I get told yes, or I get told no again. And I keep pushing for it. And it's just, God, it was awesome. It was a lot of fun to get it together. And then once I went to Impact, and they told me they wanted to bring me in when I got signed, they said, hey, we're going to come in and kind of shoot similar vignettes. Okay, cool. And then once I got there, Jimmy Jacobs and just creative, everybody there, and Scott Damore, just kind of were like, you know what? We're just going to use what you have. Like, we're just kind of going to change the audio in the background for the songs, just because of copyright deal. But we're going to go with what you have. I'm like, oh, that is awesome. Perfect. Yes. Thank you. But that was just more of a compliment for the work that I put into myself. And that's the one thing.
So cool. I think that's gotta be like the most reassuring thing, that a vision that you and somebody you knew had was good enough for this company that just signed you. Like, that's gotta feel great.
And it was one of those things, like, from being a little kid playing with his wrestling figures and setting up a TV with No Mercy or WrestleMania 2000 to do entrance videos, and have a vision from there to now being me and putting a vision that I have for myself out there. And it was a lot of fun, and it was just really cool. And it was really, like, it was one of those things where, all right, cool, let's fucking go. Like, as sorry to be very blunt with it, but all right, cool. It's one of those things where, all right, cool, well, here we go. We're going to get the wheels working. And then, of course, like, it was weird to debut without any audience. It was very, very weird. And here I am trying to toy a new character. Do I be serious? Do I be this? Like, how do I want to come out and be seen? Like, the first match I had was, I had a few get over matches with squashes, and it was like, all right, first one I didn't really say much, Second one, I talked a little bit. And then the third one, I was, all right, we're getting in the groove. It was just getting that confidence back and having that fun again. And then once we got fans, look, fans are the lifeblood of professional wrestling. And if people don't realize that through the COVID era, it really is a difference.
So I know you had done some stuff with Beyond and Monster Factory. Yep. In the meantime, were you like testing out anything there, being like, is any of this going to work in front of people?
So Beyond, I actually wrestled the night that my first vignette aired on Impact. So mm-hmm. it kind of worked where they had their IWTV independent, however the streaming service went. I think it's IWTV that Beyond does it on. But it was really cool to kind of first have a moment of Twitter engagement, like for my name.
Yeah.
To where here I am working two matches at Beyond back to back, and then I'm having a vignette air for Impact. So it was kind of cool how it all worked out and it just magically fell into place. And for me, that was the first time working in front of a live crowd since NXT days before we got called up. And when I went out, I'm like, all right, I don't know how I'm going to do this entrance. Like, how am I going to feel? And as soon as I saw people, like, I kind of was kind of like teary eyed behind my eyes, but kind of, I just instantly saw people. I'm like, let's fucking, I just fired up.
Yeah.
I'm like, it was just a cool feeling. And that's just, what's the best thing? Like I said, it's the lifeblood of pro wrestling. It's the fans and how you feed off of them and what works, what doesn't work, and who's going to like you or what. And it's just, that's my favorite part of wrestling.
So how far in did you speak with Impact about coming in? Obviously, you had a pretty good in there with Deonna Purrazzo. But
yeah.
From what I understand, you had been around at tapings even before, right? Like, I'm sure that, like, you had met plenty of people. You had established connections yourself. How far after your release did they speak with you about coming in?
It was literally the day that my contract was ending with WWE. I got the call that I was getting signed with Impact. And my conversations with them were through D-Lo, with Tommy Dreamer. But, like, with Tommy Dreamer, it was funny because I talked about it on his podcast. And when I went there originally, it was for one of Deonna's matches that she had. I want to say it was Bound for Glory last year. Yeah. And I went for the match just to hang out. And I was not doing anything on TV and WWE. So I'm like, I need to get away from Florida. Let me come with you. And she brought me with her. And I just kind of sat and talked. And Dreamer and I talked football. Didn't talk anything wrestling. We just talked football. And then after that, I went back again. And then that's kind of when the conversations happened with me and D'Lo. And he was like, so it was kind of funny to me because I've been on college visits for high school football when I was in high school. And like, they try to tell you like, oh, we can't technically talk to you, but exactly. When is this date happening? So it's like one of those NCAA things. And it was just kind of fun to do how it all worked out. And I'm very grateful where I'm at and how it all happened. Impact is such an amazing place. I don't know. I know people have talked about it, how creatively freedom that you have there is just, it's a lot of fun. And anything you throw at them ideas wise, if they throw it back at you in a different way, it's just very good communication. And that's the number one thing is communication.
So had they established early on you'd be a part of the X Division? And how did you feel about that? Because
without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Quite honestly, most people, when they think of your work, don't exactly scream out, oh, he'll be in the X Division. But the proof is in the pudding. The results have been great. I've compared it. I've said it's like if Rhino in his prime was put in the X Division. Like it's that aggression and that just 110 miles an hour with a purpose type of thing that I really like. Did you know like early on you'd be in the X Division?
No. So originally when I was getting signed was before Slammiversary and I was told, hey, we want to bring you as a tag team. Like, okay, well, I have a partner who just got let go as well.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how it worked out with Wesley Blake. Well, Weston Blake now. It was kind of working that way. They said, okay, cool. And then maybe about a week later, they said, hey, we want to bring you in before Slammiversary, get the vignettes going. We're going to bring in singles. I'm like, okay, cool. Then Blake and I sat down. We had a conversation. We're obviously at crossroads in our careers, but I was like, I need to do the singles thing. I've never done it on my own. Mm-hmm. I've tried. It never worked. with NXT at that time, just because of the influx. That's why we became a tag team, but the influx of talent there, that's just how it worked. You just find a way to get on TV. So now here I am riding a roller coaster. And since it started, I'm having so much fun, especially the X Division, just because it's such a clash of styles. And I know I've said it before too. It's like a Samoa Joe, AJ Styles. You have Christopher Daniels, the Sabins. You have all the names that have been throughout X Division. And like, that's what the X Division is in Impact Wrestling. It is just a clash of styles. And I think that's the one thing that I bring to the X Division, is that middle marker of like, I can do this and I can do that, but you have to match me in the middle, because I'm going to kick the shit out of you.
So you'd been wrestling a long time. And I even went back and looked at this. Before you left WWE, you had no one-on-one matches in 2021 or 2020. You had one in 2019, two in 2018, and then in 2017, you had done all kinds of work. So, I mean, a guy that's wrestled as long as you have, I'm sure everything's pretty well second nature, but you had like three singles matches over the course of about 4 years. What type of adjustment was that for you? Because you had become a bit of a tag team specialist in WWE.
It's once you start taking some type of offense on you and you're in the defense, you're not looking at the corner anymore for your tag partner. And that's where the psychology comes into play in pro wrestling. Like, something happens to you, you're looking for your partner. Like, that's why your partner's there. That's why the tag team partner is there. You're there to help each other, whether it's babyface or heel. And it's been fun for me. It's let me up my cardio. And now it's letting me show my work rate as well, which I've known all along on my, not an ego thing, but it's just like, I've known my worth and I've just always wanted to work. And that's, I think, the one thing Blake and I had at that time was we just wanted to work and show who we can do and what we were capable of, and just weren't given that opportunity. And now here I'm handed an opportunity by Impact, and I'm trying to give every bit of me to, whenever you see me go out there, I'm giving you everything I have. And I know D'Lo and has said it before, like, I'm very reckless with the way I use my body, but my body is a weapon. Like, I'm not a high flyer, but I know I can do some certain things, and I'm going to use my body to a certain aspect within the X Division. And that's been the fun part too in the X Division. Yeah, it's been so much fun. You and I chat here and there, and you and I sidebar every now and then. I'm just having a blast in pro wrestling right now.
And there's stuff that fits with the X Division, like that tackle through the ropes upside down. Oh my God. Like, I saw that and I was like, that's vicious.
Now, so I give kudos to my opponent coming January 8th at Hard to Kill with Trey. He's such a good talent. He's one of those guys in the ring that can do anything. And I think our styles clash very well.
Yes.
And well, not clash, mesh very well, I should say, as more of a word. We get it. We get each other. We don't have to really talk much. We just kind of, it's a very yin and yang, and we just gel. And he's one of those opponents that I've been in the ring with now. I'm like, all right, cool. I can work with him anywhere, and it would be a good match.
And when you look at the styles and stuff, there's not like, as a base, so to speak, there's nothing that he can do that you can't take care of him on, and vice versa. And if you're heaving him across the ring, he's going to make it look as spectacular as possible. I think that's the beauty of the X Division too. And that's why the X Division is what made me fall in love with TNA wrestling back in the day.
Same. No, yeah, same. In 2005, 2006 timeframe, when I was getting out of high school, like, that's when it blew up and you're like, holy shit. And it, like, at that time, it reminded me of like the WCW Cruiserweight division during the Attitude Era, like when everybody had the Monday Night Wars. Mm-hmm. Only time I tuned into WCW for Nitro was to watch the Cruiserweights, and then I would flip over to watch Austin an hour later.
And I would love that about TNA, because Samoa Joe would pop up in there. And when they ran Joe, Styles, and Daniels, I believe when that was the main event, I said, well, good. They're the three best there. And that's what I've always loved about the X Division. You and Trey have had this feud going on effectively since July, when you all had that double count out on BTI. And then you haven't gotten him one-on-one since then until now. So there was a bit of a break between the matches, like a little period. It seems like, from the outside looking in, me as a viewer, double count out back in July, you all had to know that this was eventually building to this moment. Was that always a plan, or was it like a happy accident?
We went into that match wanting the office to know this is a match you need to do somewhere down the road. I knew my talents. He knew his talents. And it was one of those things where once we got done, we were like, holy shit, this was awesome. And it was simple. That's the fun. Like, it was simple. And it was so easy to put together. And we had other ideas, and we took them away, and we made it a sit. We just dumbed it down a little bit. And they said, well, we got to keep you strong. We got to keep him strong. And we don't know where everything's kind of going yet. So how do we make this work? We're like, all right, well, and Daivari was a big part at that time when he was a producer there. So he came up with the idea of doing the double count out the way we did, because we had a different idea. I forgot what we had, but his idea was better, pretty much, is what it just worked better. Like, oh, okay, cool. That actually makes sense. Thank you. And that's where a producer comes in hand. And like, people think producers squash a match or make it this because of the off. No, it's just, they're there to help. You go to your producer for help and for camera shots. And it was one of those things where it just worked. And Trey and I got done. I'm like, this is simple pro wrestling. And I think that's the one thing missing a lot of times now. And I think a lot of people are starting to see that, though, is pro wrestling is coming back. It's not the entertainment aspect. It's dumbing it down. You're not killing each other every night, and you're building to something bigger.
It's that story you tell. This specific match reminded me, I'll never forget it. It was like, I want to say, gosh, it was ahead of WrestleMania 96. I think it was March. Savio Vega and Steve Austin, they went in cold, and they beat the living shit out of each other in a double countout. And then the double countout didn't stop them. They still wanted to fight after that. And I was like, I want them to still fight after that too. Like, I want them to keep fighting. And you guys have, but there have been other dance partners. I don't want to say in the way, because it's added to the match a lot, but it's very clear that you two specifically want to beat the shit out of each other, despite Phantasmo or Laredo Kid being present. And there's things that keep getting in the way of you all specifically going at it. And now that those other elements are removed, as fun as they may be, this has been a great build, I think. Like, at what point did you know they're going to go to this? They have to. They have no other choice.
That's, again, communication and knowing. And I'm not giving away all the secrets, but sure. I kind of know at a time where we're kind of going. And I asked, like, where we're going, so that when we do these matches in the build-up, or how I am with someone else in a ring, whether they're Laredo Kid, I'm like, all right, cool. How can I think down the line of where the story's going? And that's the one thing I've been wanting to sink my teeth into for so long. And I finally have that opportunity now. And it's, again, so much fun for me. But like, at the same time, I hate that we're not a weekly TV basis. We're so many weeks out. So here I am sitting. I'm like, all right, what's happening this week? I have to hit up like creative. I'm like, all right, what's airing this week? Just to make sure, so I can tweet this, or like kind of not play along, but like technically play along, but just kind of go along with the storyline. And that's the one thing I base off everything, is telling that good story for the fans to sink their teeth into. And whether we steal the show at Hard to Kill, but because the card is from top to bottom insane. And it's, all right, shit. Now it's just making everybody up their game even more. And it's like, all right, here we go. Now it's like, all right, now where are we on the card? Where are we going to be? How much time do we have? All right, what is the story we're going to try to tell? Whether this is the finish or we're going somewhere else. And that's the fun part.
We've got a couple of reader questions. I want to change pace before we got to wrap up.
Yeah, but no worries.
I've got one from a Danny Cage that says, what was more difficult for you, your military training or getting Danny Cage his watch back that he left in Orlando because he was tremendously hungover and about to miss his flight?
I think I just ribbed him keeping his watch the whole time, so obviously military training.
And then we have one from a Diana P that says, why are you deaf?
Why am I deaf? Because I went to war. That's her reason.
Gosh!
Anytime we have we have some time in the house, and I'm kind of hard of hearing. I am very hard of hearing, and I am going deaf slowly. But tinnitus is pretty good on my end. She's just like, oh, I'm deaf because I went to war. That's your excuse. Oh. I'm like, yeah, appreciate it.
Oh, my God. That's like when people will go, what happened to the man bun, Sean? I'm like, I'm sorry, I donated it to cancer.
I had a, what was it? During my early NXT days when Bill DeMott was still there, I pitched a name for Mike Dalton. And at that time, Tyler Breeze was that name.
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, you don't know the product? I'm like, sorry, I was in Afghanistan. And he instantly was just like, oh.
Amazing.
So it was one of those moments where I instantly gave it back to him, and he kind of knew that from there on out. So it was one of those good stories from back then.
So as we mentioned Deanna's name, she told me you were on the scene of the farm fight.
Yes. That
please,
was so
please would, share me nothing, share with me that experience.
It was cool because like Mickey's house was great. I got to meet Nick there and her son as well, and then see the house and the horses on the ranch. And it was cool to just kind of watch how Jimmy's vision, like, it was funny to watch Jimmy because he's very much like a hunter kind of guy.
Yes.
Like, very similar. And watching him envision and he's over here doing this and showing this, and they're coming up with their own ideas of how they do it. I'm sitting there, this is awesome. And then here comes Deanna wearing friggin' white t-shirt and white shoes. And I'm just like, what are you? I'm like, we're going to a farm, but okay. But it was a good time. It was cool to watch. I love watching behind the scenes. Like, that's the fun part of wrestling. Yeah. It allows your creative mind. I'm like, okay, cool. If I'm put in this situation, it's a learning experience. I'm putting that experience, like, so you figure it out. And
I like the white. It's almost like she knew she was getting color, but it was mud. I love that.
Yeah. Is it that or horse shit?
Oh, my God. Impact Hard to Kill, January 8th. Steve Macklin, we're going to have to talk again soon.
Yes.
Thank you so much for the time.
No, thank you for having me. And, guys, if you want to check me out, Instagram, Steve Macklin, Twitter as well, Pro Wrestling Tees, Steve Macklin Store, and Impact Shop as well. So, yeah.
Check it out, guys. We will have a post show after Hard to Kill. Until next time, guys, we're out.
Get all the Masterforce outdoor power equipment you need to maintain your yard at Menards. Own the outdoors with Masterforce 80-volt power equipment, delivering all the power of gas without the maintenance. The entire 80-volt line is powered by brushless motors for ultimate performance and productivity. From lawnmowers to leaf blowers, string trimmers, and more. Find everything you need to create the lawn of your dreams with Masterforce power equipment at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.